He knew the value of time too well to spend it in frivolous pursuits or with futile companions, however high in rank. Fond of his art and diligent in its cultivation and the exercise of it as a profession, he spent so studious and sedentary a life as seldom allowed him to mix in society or partake in public amusements. Handel's general look was somewhat heavy and sour, but when he did smile, it was his sire the sun bursting out of a black cloud. There was a sudden flash of intelligence, of wit and good humor beaming in his countenance, which I hardly ever saw in any other. Very nice way to be remembered. A serious man who took his art very seriously, but was capable of great humor and great firmness when that was called for. Now, around 1740, it would seem that Handel's public for his operas began to dry up. We've got to remember, and this is something we'll talk about in a later class, that Italian opera, Baroque style, began falling out of favor universally in the 1740s and 50s. We are in what is called the Enlightenment at this point. A whole new public, a middle-class public, is beginning to partake in musical entertainments. And the aristocratic Italian opera, I don't know what they're singing. Do you know what they're singing? I don't know what they're singing. The aristocratic Italian opera has no appeal to this new audience. And indeed, Handel sees the writing on the wall about 1740. His operas are being less and less heavily attended, and he decides to try his hand at another kind of composition to see if he can bring this new audience into his concert hall. So he decides to try his hands at oratorio. Now, Handel's oratorios are composed in English, and this allows a whole new non-snob, non-aristocratic audience to partake in them. They are Protestant in flavor, and he writes 26 English-language Protestant oratorios, including Saul and Solomon and, of course, Messiah. Some of these oratorios are just being recorded for the first time today. Please let us talk about Messiah. First and foremost, it's not the Messiah. Please, don't say the Messiah. Would we think of saying, apropos of the game show, the Jeopardy? Apropos of the great American show, the Oklahoma? Apropos of the movie, the Godzilla? No, it sounds wrong, because it is wrong. Please, what's right is right. Messiah of 1742. It is perhaps the only Baroque composition performed continuously and frequently since its composition. Now, Messiah is slightly exceptional as oratorios go, and as such, it's frankly not the best possible example for our purposes. There are no characters in Messiah, but instead there are narrators who relate the story of Christ's life in recitative. Then other anonymous narrators and commentators interrupt this narrative to react, and they react with recitatives and arias of their own. The chorus is extremely important in Messiah. They represent the people generally or Christianity specifically. The reason why I am doing Messiah, unrepresentative though it may be, is because we know it so well, and because it's still such a constant presence in our musical lives. There are 50-plus separate numbers in Messiah. Almost all of them are gems. And I would tell you something very aggravating for every one of us. This two-hour work was written in 24 days. This two-hour work, 50-plus numbers, was written in 24 days. During the Baroque, a premium was not placed on originality. And although there are lots of compositional formulas that can be followed to write music quickly, I should point out that we should never accuse Handel or Johann Sebastian Bach of following formulas too closely. Yeah, look, Bach and Handel transcend the predictability of much Baroque music, but unfortunately, a lot of Baroque music, my friends, is wallpaper. 17th and 18th century new wave music, if you'll excuse me. Stuff you put on in your car when you're stuck in a traffic jam and you have to stay calm. Stuff they play on the classical radio stations at dinner time so that our digestion can be easy and mild. Now, not Bach, not Handel, and I won't name names, not right now, but those composers of this vapid, formulaic, predictable Baroque pap lie in their graves knowing exactly who they are.